It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic, and possibly joining us, Mike Coffey from MD Nation, if he can figure out his laptop.
Well, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've done this. It's been a long hiatus. So
yeah, that's exactly
I had trouble
right.
Just turning on the laptop. I didn't. It's.
Let's hope the season doesn't go this way. All right, you know, Ed, there's tons and tons of anticipation for this season. Notre Dame's got depth for the first time. Not really the first time in a long time, but they have some very serious depth, which is a good sign. But probably the biggest sign that this season's going to go really well is the fact that it's August 16th and the Cubs are on a 10-game winning streak.
Oh, my gosh.
I probably just jinxed them, but in any event.
The ultimate contrarian indicator. I'm just glad that the White Sox have some margin. The Cubs don't.
Yeah, that's right.
The ERA is about the same as Kavari Russell's uniform number.
Well, anyways, hey, good thing for the Cubs. Let's hope they pull it out. But here we are in August, and it's heating up. It's Notre Dame football time. Probably, at least in my mind, the biggest thing, and we always know this, Notre Dame goes the way of the quarterback. But the success of the season, and that's going to be one of them for me, is just what he does. And I think the reason that there's some excitement there is just because of what we saw on LSU. Now, let's be honest with each other. He didn't close the game out by himself. He got some help from Golson. And Golson did contribute in the fourth quarter there. I mean, he took him down the field and got him in position. And it wasn't Zaire that did that, but Golson. But in any event, you can't take away from what he did in that game, and I just think that the pressure that he puts on the defense with the read option is going to be critical this year, and the success that we enjoy might be attributed to that.
Yeah, I don't know what you know network carries the most ACC games, but I wonder if we're going to get some kind of a kickback because besides Notre Dame, I think there's going to be a lot of Irish fans tuning in to watch Florida State this year. It's going to be real,
no doubt.
Everybody's going to watch the Notre Dame game and then quick switch to see how Golson's playing, and it's going to be very strange seeing him in that Seminole uniform. But you're right. I mean, you talk about depth. I mean, quarterback depth is probably the only position on the team where there isn't some serious, experience at the two deep. So we just have to pray that Malik stays healthy. He'll make some mistakes, but he certainly seems to have the mental makeup to be a good college quarterback. And he's definitely more of a natural runner. And I think if he avoids the bad pick, he's got a strong enough arm. I don't think he's at least so far, he doesn't seem to be as much of a pure passer as Golson, but he's definitely better with his feet, just instinctually as a runner, and that I think should probably really improve Notre Dame's red zone.
Yeah, and I just you look at the teams that implement the read option and the amount of pressure that puts on the defense because it forces you to freeze, right? And anytime you can force that hesitation on the defense, then they don't have the ability to just pin their ears back and come after you. Because you're not Tommy Rees and you're not one dimensional, and just that alone, at least in what we've seen in Zaire's ability to throw and thread the football, if it's one thing to take a pounding as you're running because that's never a good thing for a quarterback, but he is a pretty physical kid. He's strong. If he can just withstand that and stay away from the injuries, like you say, it is a huge, huge feather in the cap to have that arsenal in your offense.
Well, we learned the hard way last year that when it comes to the quarterback position, it's and especially with this team with a lot of talent on the line, you know, an experienced, established number one running back at least, and some good receivers. You know, Malik's biggest job, I think, this year is to take care of the football. I mean, if he can avoid the interception and avoid the fumble, we found out last year how devastating that could be when your quarterback has a rash of fumbles. So, you know, that I think that'll be the key, is to, you know, his first job is to do no harm. I don't think he has to be, you know, the number one playmaker. He has to be the straw that stirs the drink, but I think his number one job is not to screw up.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I do think that, look, I'm disappointed, as you probably know, and would expect me to say about Craig Bryant.
Here comes.
Not being part of that arsenal.
Mike Brown's favorite all-time Notre Dame football player is on the shelf. You know, other of us, you know, we've had, you know, favorite players like Dave Casper and Tim Brown and the Rocket, and but Mike Brammer casts his lot with somebody with 27 career rushes or whatever.
That's right. Hey, by the way, just a quick side note. If you do get a chance to see that Hall of Fame special on Tim Brown on NFL Network, it's really, really good. There's some great material that he gives up about Notre Dame, and it's really cool. Just some of the comments that he made about the experiences he had. It's a really, really good watch. But anyway,
well, I'm a Raider fan. He's just the latest in a long line of awesome domers that had great careers in the NFL as a Raider. So I did catch a little bit of it. He is definitely Mr. Raider. Very classy, and can't be happier for him. I can't believe it took this long. But if there's a guy that belongs in the Hall of Fame for a number of reasons, it's Tim Brown. So congratulations,
yeah,
Timmy.
It really was. Really neat stuff. So, but yeah, it's a great, it's definitely a great 30-minute tribute to him. It's really cool. You know, so back to the season at hand, you know, we talk about injuries, you know, we talk about all the kinds of things that we hope we don't see. What I really thought was interesting, though, is just a lot of the comments you're seeing from Kelly, where he's really focusing hard and making a point to let it be known that he is working diligently on the culture of this football team. And at least for me, the way I read that is, look, I feel like we got a lot of talent. We're good. It's going to come down to that now to make us who we want to be and get us to that Final Four. And that, to me, is interesting. Not that I think that there's problems, but it just goes to show that how much emphasis he's putting on that. And I've just heard just some of the stuff that I've been reading online, obviously, but guys that are stepping up that you obviously need it from a leadership standpoint. But the few guys, Kavari Russell, you know, especially a guy like that that's been out the entire year and then shows up, and not only is he demonstrating on the field, but he's also shown some leadership skills as well. Interesting to say the least, but I do think that if Notre Dame can somehow get that mindset going again, that same mindset maybe that they had all the way up to Florida State last year, that unfortunately fell apart for him after that. If they can maintain that could be the difference maker in that eventual close game that we know we're going to have. There's just no way we're going to do what Ohio State's supposedly expected to do, which is win by double digits the entire year. There's going to be a close game that comes our way, just like it was in 2012 with Pittsburgh. But
well, like Lou always said, I mean, you know, to go from good to great, to get to that 14 playoff, or back when he was coaching, you know, to get to a chance to compete for national championship, you have to have a great team and you have to have a great culture, but you have to have some luck. And as any college football coach will tell you, you know, or would like to preach to his team, you make your own luck. So it's kind of the combination of those two things. Notre Dame's going to have to be fortunate in a game or two this year to run the table, or to at least put themselves in a position of that conversation for the 14 playoff. But they're also going to have, you know, Brian Kelly can call it culture or whatever, but they're going to have to be resilient. They're going to have to handle adversity well. And I think that starts with the coach. You know, they're going to have to, they have a situation where, I don't know what it is, what, 5, 6, 7 teams on the schedule have more than a full week to prepare for Notre Dame, you know, a bye week before Notre Dame or a Thursday night game before Notre Dame, which gives them 10 days and a little, you know, so it's a tough schedule. It's a challenging schedule. It's teams that are rested. It's teams that, really have Notre Dame circled on their schedule. Teams like Georgia Tech and Clemson who don't come to town or who we don't go play every year. And then, of course, the traditional rivalries with Stanford and Pittsburgh and Southern Cal. So there's plenty to chew on. The bye week for Notre Dame doesn't really, isn't before a big game. I think it's after USC and before Temple. So, and there's a freshman kicker. My new favorite player is Justin Yoon. I care to cast my lots with players who I think will probably be academically eligible for their entire run at Notre Dame, unlike you. So it sounds like he's great, but again, he's a freshman. And, the kicking game always plays a role in a game for every top five, top 10 team every year that could send them either into the 14 playoff or send them to the Peach Bowl.
No, you're right. I mean, people will often forget. I watched the Ohio State Navy game last year. It was they were on their own 48-yard line in the fourth quarter with like 10 minutes to go. I'm sorry, 5 minutes to go, and Urban Meyer went for it on fourth and one. They got the first down, but I was screaming at the TV because I thought it was a generous spot. And man, you take that spot away, and Navy with the football on the 50-yard line probably would still take 5 minutes to punch it in. And Ohio State had not stopped them in the second half, had not stopped them once in the entire second half.
We're pretty familiar with that concept.
Yeah, exactly.
Being able to stop Navy. We've been right there. We've done that.
So there's going to be that game where we do have that close, and it can go either way. It's always going to be the way. And, I think what Holtz is saying is you got to have that luck that then propels you into that Final Four. And I think that, it's going to be interesting. There's going to be nicks, bumps, bruises along the way. There's going to be some bad bounces. And that's where the character of the team, I think, shows through is in those moments. Do they have that kind of culture that's going to overcome that? You started to mention it, but I was going to ask this question of you. And obviously for me, it isn't going to be Greg Bryant this year, but who is the breakout guy that you think is going to have a big season that maybe we may not expect, at least looking at it from right now?
There's several. That's a pretty good, question. I think that, it's going to be very interesting. The tight end has been a pretty integral part of the offense the last decade or so at Notre Dame, and it's really kind of the first time in a while that we've had a total question mark kind of going in. So we really haven't seen I always forget, is it Duncan Smythe or Durham Smythe? I think it's Dunham Smythe. I can't ever remember anymore. But, obviously people will be screwing for Elise because he's the hot freshman on the block and that kind of thing. But it's important that you've got that our tight ends make their blocks, and hold the edge. And it's important that our tight ends, get out into the flat and make catches and have good hands and, extend for extra yardages after the initial hit, kind of yards after contact type thing. So I think, I'm kind of cautiously optimistic that somebody's going to step up there because we just have a history of doing that, of guys at that position who blossom. So Mr. Smythe, I'll call him. He would be my kind of choice for somebody who's sort of under the radar in terms of offensive weapons, that we might be pleasantly surprised at what he's able to do. And if he isn't, there are some guys behind him who are going to have to step up and do it because it's a pretty key position in our offense. On defense, I think we're going to discover somebody's going to step up and we're going to discover a pass rusher, and we're going to be that kind of bugaboo that we've already had. I don't know if it's going to be Trimbetti or Aquara or Blankenship or Bonner, but somebody is going to step up and we're going to say, whoa, that guy can get after the quarterback. Now, it might be because the rest of our defense is, our coverage is so good that somebody can't help but emerge as a good pass rusher. Maybe it'll be Isaac Rochelle and he'll, or maybe it'll just be a team situation where our pass rush is better than we've expected or that anybody is predicting. But I think the pass rush is going to be a pleasant surprise for this team. Even though a lot of people think it's the Achilles heel.
Yeah, well, that would be a welcome bit of news for us, because it's probably the one area that you definitely would say to yourself that you're nervous about on the defense. It's probably the only area. But I'll counter that with on offense, the guy that I think is going to have that breakout year is going to be Will Fuller. Just because he did have that last year, but I just thought that at the end of the season, he really seemed to get a lot more comfortable with getting into the open, and maybe it has to do with just his ability to read defenses and all that goes into it. It just for whatever reason, I really thought he came on strong towards the end there, and I just get the feeling that his confidence level is going to be way up this year, and maybe that's not going to be just a huge surprise, but I do think he could have a really big year. On defense, I'm going to go with Max Redfield, and the reason I say that is because, and he's good. It's not like we don't know that he's already good.
You just have a soft spot in your heart for every underachieving five-star in the history of Notre Dame football, don't you?
But, you know, I do think that his ability, you know, with Russell there in front of him, it gives him a little bit more, no more does he have to constantly be on the watch out for taking care of the guys in front of him and being the last, the last guy in between the goal line. I think he's going to be a little bit more freer to take a few more chances. And if he can get that comfort and confidence level, then I think he's a guy that could have a huge year because he is going to be able to roam free a little bit. And he is a big hitter. I mean, we've seen flashes of it, but I mean, the guy is a big hitter. He's a football player, and yeah, he probably hasn't been to where we thought he was going to be coming in. But I just think in this particular situation, with everything that he's got in front of me, he could end up having a big
year. Gets a special award probably, for being the first player in the history of college football to go on the record as saying he's been spending too much time on his academics. You got to give him credit for that. You got to love Max Redfield for that. But obviously he's a great kid and he's a special talent. And, sometimes we just assume that these guys arrive on campus, ready to conquer the world. And that's just not the case. Sometimes it takes a little while for the light bulb to go off. Sometimes it takes a little while to kind of figure out that football really means something to them and that they, that they set some goals for themselves. And sometimes it takes a little while for the mental aspect to catch up with the obvious physical gifts. I mean, look at Snoop's kid, who's not going to play football anymore. He just kind of figured out that it's just not his passion. And I think we just assume that all of these kids that are, four or five star athletes have a passion for playing football. With so many stage parents out there and with so much pressure to take advantage of your physical gifts, I think that a lot of them arrive at college and find themselves, 6 months, a year into it saying, do I really want to be doing this? Or does this really mean something to me? They get involved in other things, but it's nice to see the early reviews on Redfield are good, and there's no doubt that he could be a huge contributor just because he is so gifted.
It just seems to me like that it's just a guy that has that kind of talent and the ability to pull it off, and I think now in a situation where the spotlight can go on him and he's going to be free to roam, you would just expect his talent to come through. One of the things about that whole show on Tim Brown was, until he said it in the show, I totally had forgotten about it, but it wasn't like he saw a lot of playing time his freshman and sophomore year. He struggled his freshman year and then touched it his sophomore year, but probably not
well,
a lot.
He muffed the first kick that ever came to him and cost the Notre Dame a football. Well, I don't know. He didn't directly cost them the game. I mean, obviously there were other factors, but it was – didn't they lose to Purdue, I think? And
Purdue, down in the dome, when he muffed that. That's exactly right. But, yeah, I mean, but just as you say, these are young kids. It is a totally different world you step into, going from a big star athlete in high school to then all of a sudden entering into a world, something like Notre Dame, where, the level of talent, just not only does the talent skyrocket, but the spotlight is way brighter than it's ever been. And the pressures that come along that, knowing what we know with the academic side of things.
I do think that You're exactly right. But I also think that, you know, Notre Dame's going to miss Jerron Jones. We're not sure that he was really healthy coming back from his foot injury, but having a big man in the middle, I think, is something that a lot of really great defenses have had. And we forget, you know, you were talking about luck and, you know, kicks and that kind of thing. I mean, you know, Jerron Jones probably would have been good for another block or two this year, you know, which could change the complexion of a game, you know, whether an extra point or a field goal. He obviously was very good at that, and kind of, you know, once you kind of get a knack for that, the ball just kind of seems to find one of your big mitts. And, you know, sometimes there's a play that's wide open for the opposition and you get a hand on the pass, right? You know, you tip a pass or you block a, you know, as a defensive lineman, you know, you're just not getting any push, you're not getting any rush, but you jump up, and when you're 6'6", 6'7", like he is, and you swat away a pass, or you deflect one into the arms of a linebacker, you know, what could have been an easy six for the offense becomes a turnover. So they're going to miss Jerron. You know, they'll plug the hole, but I just think he, a huge guy in the middle of the defense, in the middle of the field, you know, centers and nose tackles, you know, man, when you have good ones, or, you know, and even, you know, especially when you have great ones, I mean, it can really take your team a long way. So that's a big loss.
It makes
a big loss.
It is. It's definitely a big loss. And I totally agree with you. And I mean, I think if, you know, in the days when you and I were there, being able to watch, guys like, Zorich, it makes that big of a difference when you got somebody up the middle that can command that kind of presence. And he's a big, huge guy. I agree with you. Now, granted, we have been hearing good things about Rochelle in practice, and, you know, hopefully that is the case.
And and Tillery, I mean, he's got similar size to Jerron Jones, and it's great that he's an early enrollee, but you know how it is. I mean, he's going to hit the wall. You know, he's going to have some struggles as a freshman, just with stamina, you know, 5, 6, 7 games into it. You know, he's got a midterm, or he's got a paper, he's going to be learning a whole new skill set. It's basically the difference between, you'd love Tillery to his first year, you know, have to be relied on for 20 or 30 snaps instead of 50 or 60, right? You know, 20 or 30 plays a game on defense and have Jerron, you know, kind of carry the load of maybe that 50 plays or 50, you know, whatever, you know, to have the majority of them. And listen, there were some times last year that I thought Daniel Cage, you know, showed that he can play, but, you know, he's 6 feet tall. You know, I think, maybe 6 feet, you know, one, I don't think so. But anyways, that's just different than Jerron Jones's body type. You know, kind of more of a plugger, but not kind of all the different things that Jerron brought to the table. So hopefully that surgery is successful. Hopefully we get him back, next year and he makes another run at it. Cause I think he's a pretty talented guy who could end up playing on Sundays, but this is definitely a setback.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, Lou, let's leave it there. We'll obviously Coffee couldn't recover his laptop, and so
we'll do this again before the Navy game. Can we? Are we going to try?
That's
okay,
right.
Good.
Oh yeah, we'll try. Yeah, well, hopefully this year we'll be a little bit better on the attendance of us, at least prior to the games. That's for sure. But in any event, we'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanek. And next time around, Mike Coffey. Thanks. See you guys.